Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, so last week I dropped like a little teaser saying that something was going to be a little bit different this week, that we're going to bring in something new, and by something new I mean a couple of old guys. So, welcome. This is the Thin Line Believers podcast. This is a podcast by first responders for, really just about anybody, but our target audience really is other first responders and also believers. So, with that said, welcome. I'm going to let you two fellas introduce yourself, and we'll take it from there. So whoever wants to go first. Crickets. Here we go.
You're pointing to me, Josiah? Of course. There you go. Hey, my name is Mike Tron. Married. Got two kids. I've been in the ministry for, I don't know how, let's just say over 25 years. Been an ordained pastor for quite a bit of time. Also a certified trainer and a nutritionist. And been a Los Angeles City firefighter. And now I'm a police officer in the town of Vail here in Colorado. And involved in ministry. And like Adam, I'm hoping and praying that we can get the believers in uniform to stand tall and stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having said that, I'll turn it over to Josiah.
Welcome. Thank you. My name is Josiah Hart. I'm married, two kids. I've been married for 22 years now. And before being a law enforcement officer, I was a pastor as well. I've known Mike since I was 18 years old, so he's known me for a while now. I've been in church work since then, and consider myself a pastor behind the badge at this moment. The Lord still has me working behind a badge, so until then, I will be a pastor behind the badge. I work with the Eagle County Sheriff's Office here in Colorado, Gypsum, Eagle County area, and excited to be here with you guys just to kind of share the Lord and what's on my heart, and how we all could continue to shine the light of the Lord in our jobs and in this dark world. And so any way we could do that, that's why we're here.
Right on. And so if you're new to the podcast, my name is Adam. I've been doing this for a little while now. I'm out here in Oregon, so here we are doing this digitally. This is great. So anyway, I know, Michael, we talked, and you have some reference from scripture that you'd like to talk about today. But before we get that kicked off, since Michael, you're going to be opening up the scripture, Josiah, would you mind just kind of starting us off with prayer here?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity and just for the platform that we have here, Lord. We ask that you would guide us and lead us and direct our steps, Lord. We thank you that you promised to never leave us. And with that confidence, Lord, we move forward in our daily life. And as we open your word and look at some scriptures, God, would you open our eyes to see the beautifulness of your word, and may you wash it over us. And may we, Lord, be more like you each and every day. We give you the praise and the glory that is due your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Michael, what do you got for us today?
So looking at Luke chapter 7, at the end of verse 1, it says, Jesus entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, and saying that he would be worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves the nation, our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he saw, was not far off from his house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. And unto another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned to him and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. So I thought that was this scripture was perfect for thin line believers, seeing that the centurion is a man set under authority. And so, hold on a second. Sorry about that, guys. Got a call coming, even though I have do not disturb set. So then I have realized that we all wear a uniform, and behind the uniform in our heart, we are servants of Jesus Christ. And in these days, can I say in these last days, it seems as though that a lot of men and women of faith that wear the uniform are either kind of sheltered or very timid in their faith and showing their faith to others. And I thought the centurion was a perfect example of who said, I'm a man set under authority. And we are ones that are set under authority of Jesus Christ, but at the same time, we are also under authority of our sergeants and captain and so on. And Jesus marveled at this guy's faith. And my encouragement and my prayer is, as the thin blue line is attacked by the cancel culture, that we can first and foremost, number one, stand in the authority of the Word of God. And then number two, that we can stand firm in our faith, that when we're appointed upon and called upon, that we can stand strong for the Lord. That, I mean, I don't even know if Jesus would say that of me or of us, but for him to say, gosh, I marvel at this guy's faith, I think that's a huge, huge compliment. And so this text here in Luke chapter 7, the first several verses, talks about this man's faith, because he cared for a certain servant that was ill. And I wonder, do we have that heart for our brothers and sisters in arm that are not believers, you know, to the point where are we going to the Lord on their behalf to say, hey, this person is going through such and such situation. Can you touch them and minister to them? So I thought, I just want to bring that out to the text. And if you guys have any thoughts or feedback, I would love to hear that as well.
I do. I thought it was interesting. If you dig in a little further and you look back on laws during that time, the centurions, you know, over their, oh, at least the masters over their slaves, so to say, right? It was a servant. It was someone who worked with him. There was certain regulations that they needed to do. If their servant became ill, they were able to cast them out. They were able to get rid of them. That could even mean putting that servant to death. You know, it was on him to provide for this servant and do that. And I thought that was really interesting. It kind of shows you his heart, that even though the law allowed him to cast this servant out and get rid of him and count him as nothing, he went to a Jewish leader, which in itself, as a Gentile, going to a Jew and asking him to come into his house, like all these things are just going against what the the current situation, the culture that he was in, I mean, he fully just went against every regulation that was against him and said, no, Jesus is the one I need to go to. He can heal my servant. And I care that much to do that. To me, was speaks loud as well, in conjunction with what Jesus says of his, you know, his faith in him. I mean, that to me is massive, right? We have so much going against us. You know, are we willing to step out on the line for those around us? I think that's huge.
Yeah, I agree. I think a couple words come to mind for me. There's a real boldness here that this centurion displayed in not really caring who he's having to associate with. He cares enough about his servant because he himself seems to have a servant heart. But then the other word is a humility, because he's not so prideful that he can't, he even says it, that he's not worthy, right? I mean, there's a real humility there. And I think that God's looking for that in all of us, really. But I think that's extremely important when you get into public service. Are you humble enough to do this job and to bring yourself to a level of a servant? You know, I was reading yesterday this morning, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. That's kind of where we are. And if we don't have, secondly, a boldness to live out our faith, if we're acting like, talking like, living like the rest of the world and having this hidden faith within us, what good are we really doing? And are we doing that because we're not bold, or are we doing that because we're ashamed of our faith? I don't know. But
you know, you mentioned the word servant, and I think those of us in uniform need to have that servant leadership in our heart and in our mind. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, the late Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel Movement, where I remember, you know, growing up in the church, I would see him in a suit. And I remember this one Saturday, he was at a church and he was in a suit. I thought, which was odd, because there was no services, but I found that there was a wedding taking place. And I remember him just picking up trash. You know, he's the senior pastor, founder of Calvary Chapels, and he's getting ready for a wedding and he's picking up trash. And, you know, we get to that place where, you know, in uniform, we have so many years of, you know, service under our belt. We get the little stripes on our arm saying that we have 5 years, 10 years. And sometimes that servant leadership, that mentality kind of diminishes. You know, I'm too big to pick up trash. I'm too, you know, big to do rookie stuff, so to speak. And, you know, when you mentioned servant, I thought about, you know, senior pastors or leaders that, because they have so many years of experience or don't have experience, you start diminishing that thought. And I think when we talk about humility, you know, I think the people that are around us, they're going to see us and say, hey, this guy's a little different. You know, what's so different about him? I think that servant leadership is huge, tied in with humility, because, I mean, there are times when we don't want to clean toilets. There are times we don't want to pick up the trash, but servant leaders do, you know. And, you know, the centurion recognizing, you know, that, hey, you know, like just like you mentioned, him being a Gentile, going to a Jewish, that's a whole nother topic in and of itself.
Yeah.
But that's so huge, because here he is, he's a man of authority, in which he could probably order, you know, Jesus to do something, but he didn't. And he just says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And I think that's huge to take into consideration, you know, for those of us in uniform, because, you know, all three of us, Steve is somewhere in heart with us, but we have people looking to us as examples, not only of faith, but in our job as well. And I think that's huge.
I think along those lines, he was others-centered, right? Like he had every right to think of himself as, I'm a centurion. Like,
yeah.
I have the right to do whatever I want at this place, right? I mean, he could march in and demand all kinds of things. And yet he didn't demand anything. He pleaded. He asked. He humbled himself. He didn't want to put Jesus Christ in a weird position. You know, no, hey, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You just need to speak, say the word. I'm a man under authority. The same goes. I understand that. He was definitely other-centered. And I think if we're going to talk about, you know, being a servant and helping those around us, that's a huge point, right? Being other-centered and not self-centered. I think so often in our line of work, we can, you know, our egos get the best of us. And that creates then this lording over and this I'm better than you mentality. And it's not about that, right? It's others-centered. So putting others first, and especially when we are speaking about our walk with the Lord, it is all about others-centered.
Amen.
So how does that look practically, though? I mean, especially in our line of work, you know, I mean, there's so much that we're trained to do, right? It's self-preservation. I'm going home at night. You know, I have to show up. And even if I don't know exactly what I'm doing, I have to act like it. So how does not, you know, being self-focused, how does that look practically?
Well, I mean, I can remember, I mean, I started my law enforcement career with Los Angeles Police Department. I've been in law enforcement now for like 9 years. And, you know, without going into crazy detail, I was in a use of force down in California with one of my agencies. And, you know, you've got to do what you got to do in the moment. And we had a little scuffle on the ground. I came up with some bloody hands and, you know, we had to get the ambulance out. And before, you know, the ambi driver kept coming to me first, like, okay, Officer Hart, let me help you out. And I was like, look it, take care of him. He needs to be taken care of, right? I stood him up. I wiped him off. I cleaned him up. I said, okay, I'm going to get the ambulance out here and they're going to look at you first. He just fought with me, but it was me taking care of him, right? And I think even though we have a job to do, we can still be other-centered. And even though I need to go home at the end of the night, so does he. And you know, we know that there's, you know, situations in our line of work that might not come out, and not, might not be the outcome that we want. However, I still think that we could still be humble enough and to take care of the situation and those around us to where we are still humbled in every situation. And leading the way and taking care of those that we come in contact with.
I think that's good. I mean, if I could throw anything in there, how can we do this practically? How can we, you know, show humility and servanthood mentality with the whole idea of being in uniform? We have to admit that we work with people, I would say sometimes we don't want to work with. I can say that both in uniform and out in uniform. There are some people in the ministry and in church, you know, that could do away with, so to speak. But then we have to take our, I think, action plans and tips and pages from the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, because he allowed everybody to come to him, you know. He's even allowed, you know, Judas Iscariot, who knew this was a betrayal, allowed him to be in his inner circle. And so there's that notion where, how can this could be practical? Well, you know, one of you guys mentioned others oriented, right? And washing feet. The first time I went to Applegate Christian Fellowship with John Corson, the guy just in his clothes went into the water. I was like, is this for real? You know, and there's that notion of where, man, I'm sorry if you guys hear dogs, I'm going to shoot them. But there's that notion of others oriented is, are we willing to wash others' feet? Even the ones that we don't like. And I think some of the practical things is like, one of my old Bible college teachers used to say, just do the small things, like picking up trash. You see trash on the ground, you know? We have this mentality in our department, well, there's janitors, so I'm not going to clean it, you know? And I don't know about you guys at your stations, but there's been many stations where I see dishes in the sink, and they're not my dishes, you know? That's why you use paper cups you could throw away, right? But there are dishes there. Could it be that the shift before they were slammed, you know, with DUIs or accidents and all different cases, taking their dishes? They're not mine, but I could just wash them. Not so that I can get a pat on my back or anybody else, but that's practical ways that I think we could serve not only our team members, but our communities in some ways. Because at the end of the day, even those that we don't like, you know, what do we do when we call for cover? We don't care who comes, right? We just want cover. And I think some of the practical ways is doing the little things that we don't normally would do, doing others' dishes, maybe picking up their trash, you know, putting away something that they forgot to put away and, you know, they left, they're off. It was their Friday. And instead of just leaving it there, it's just like, hey, let me pick it up, put it away. One, they could get in trouble. Do I want them to do that? No. Two, it's like, hey, let me put it away. Because they're going to realize somebody put something away from them. And so I think it's a good gesture on our behalf in uniform to say, hey, you know, I'm reminded of, what is it, Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it unto the Lord. I believe in what, verse 21 or 23, it says, do it heartily. And so whatever, you know, our hands finds to do, as Ecclesiastes tells us, let's do it with all our might. And I think those are some practical ways that we could minister to those brothers and sisters, not only in uniform, but also that are those that are just watching us.
Yeah, I agree. And while you're talking about this, both of you, actually, it reminds me, and I think this is what it really boils down to, and this is what is supposed to set us apart, is when Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I mean, how many times did he say love in that short little two verses there? I think that's what it all boils down to. And we can get more into this on another podcast, but look around the nation at the last year and all the hatred that's come to cops. And really, I think, from my point of view, what it boils down to is there's a real lack of mental and spiritual health within this public service field. And I think that's really what it boils down to right there. Like it says later on in scripture that love will grow cold, right? And I think that we're kind of facing that time period when right now is more important than ever to really dig into this book, to really seek God, to really build our relationship with him so that the love that he gives to us is going to pour out in our daily lives.
The greatest commandments, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. And Jesus says, upon these two commandments rests or hangs all of the commandments, right? We talk about, you know, doing, and you know, some people like to, you know, say, oh, well, I follow the Ten Commandments. I mean, I know I break them dearly, right? But it's the grace that keeps us going. But those two commandments, Jesus says, hangs all the law and prophets. And that's massive. It tells you how high this idea of love is. And this centurion that we read about portrays that, right? It's interesting. If you keep reading on in that passage, Jesus talks about how many will come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, to the Jews, that would have been like, what? What are you talking about? The, you know, heaven and the promised land, that's for us Jews. And Jesus is telling them a little secret here. He's like, hey, I'm going to the cross, and salvation is going to be for the world. And it's interesting that he gives them a little hint of like, hey, you know, there's more people coming. And I think, again, when we talk about other service and practically doing it, you know, people are watching our lives and how we carry ourselves and how we deal with the stress day in and day out shows people, hey, like Mike said, there's something different about them. And what is it? And I want that, right? Because there's a peace, there's a commitment that we have of, hey, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, right? I'm doing this for others, and not just, you know, to make myself look good or to gain that, you know, next promotion. It's really to promote Christ, right? And what we're called to do, and to spread that gospel and finding our identity in Christ. I mean, ultimately we come back to, you know, all these things, and we can have podcasts upon podcasts on these. But absolutely, right? Love, and not letting that love grow cold in this dark world.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's a good spot to stop, but it kind of makes me think maybe next time we should be talking about the fact that when we get into this, when we live out our spiritual life practically, we're going to face a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. And I know that even now, you know, I myself am in the middle of a spiritual battle, and I think that this podcast has something to do with it. It also has to do with living my faith practically and very visibly. And there's going to be pushback. There's nowhere in this book, in this Bible, does it say that once you believe in Christ, that things are going to get better, that things are going to be great. In fact, it says just the opposite, right? So I think that we should be talking about preparing ourselves too, putting on that spiritual armor.
Amen. Hey, Mike, why don't you pray for Adam and the rest of us while we enter this battle, because we know it's coming.
Yeah, and you know, I was just reminded, I was reading this morning, you know, in Ephesians it says, put on the whole armor of God, right? And you know, whether it's police or fire, we're supposed to suit up according to the call type we're going on. You know, when I was with LA City Fire, I never remembered any time when if there's an actual fire where someone just ran into the building, or a police officer, if there's a gun battle, saying, you know what, I'm not going to use my weapon at all. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we forget to put on the helmet of salvation, right? The shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and on and on. And I think our job reminds us every single day, we have to put on our spiritual armor, you know. And, you know, Adam, as you're talking about spiritual attacks, I'm with you, brother. You know, there are some things that, you know, I'm going through, and our family's going through it. I'm like, and ever since Josiah, you and I had coffee that one day about wanting to get back into full-time ministry, just like there's just fiery darts coming my way. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, but it's a good reminder, I think, for all of us, we're on the right path. I think when we're attacked, that means the enemy doesn't want us to do our job, our work, you know, and the thing that God's called us to. So anything else you guys want to share before I close in prayer?
No, and I just to add to Ephesians chapter 6, it says, when we've done all of this, to stand therefore and pray.
Yes.
No, man, it's you got the microphone, and then when you're finished, I'll close this out.
Yeah, perfect. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that we could connect over Zoom, over the internet. And Lord, it reminds us that when we pray, long before internet was created, long before phone calls were created, God, you heard our prayers. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would have a hedge of protection. Those that wear the badge, whether it's police, fire, military, first responders as nurses and paramedics, Lord, we ask that you would put a hedge of protection around us. And Lord, especially for those of us that call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, will you give us an outpouring of your Holy Spirit that, as Josiah reminded us, to stand firm, to stand firm in your word and to stand firm in your spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would just guide us and lead us, that Lord, you would go before us as we always enter into an unknown, that God, you would stand beside us for those times where we need comfort as men, as fathers, as mothers, and behind the badge. And Lord, would you watch behind us from the attacks of the enemies? And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just bless Thin Line Believers, bless this podcast, bless the future of this ministry. We ask that, Lord, you would, Lord, send to us those that support this, or those that need prayer, those that need encouragement, Lord. And so, Lord, be with Steve, who's not with us tonight, but be with Adam and Josiah, be with me. But Lord, give us wisdom and guidance as we team up together to speak to our country, our local community, for the Thin Line Believers, Lord God. And so, Lord, watch over us and bless us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I appreciate that, Mike. So this is Thin Line Believers Revamped, I guess we can call that. Welcome aboard, both of you. I'm looking forward to what the future holds for us. This is good. And going forward, if anybody listens to this and you want to send us prayer requests, guest suggestions, whatever it may be, you can find us on Facebook, Thin Line Believers. You can find us on Instagram, Thin Line Believers. ThinLineBelievers@gmail.com is our current email address. Hopefully soon to be changed, and hopefully soon we'll have a better way to connect with us via our own website. So until next week, we will plan to try and get these out every Monday at least, and we'll send out updates as often as we can per social media. Anything else, guys, before I kick us out of here?
Nope. Just keep your eyes on Christ.
Appreciate that.
Keep your eyes on Christ. And if you guys have any questions or prayer requests, send them our way. And we'll definitely, keep you guys in our prayers.
Absolutely. It's a tough time to be in this profession. So don't feel like you're alone. That's why we're reaching out here. So feel free to contact us.